Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, February the 17th, 48th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the National Weather Service, a guy without a boss, Troy Nicolini.
Without a what?
Boss. Well, Nancy's gone, right?
Oh, without a boss. I thought you said bus.
Okay, he's without a bus also.
I don't have a bus or a boss.
There you go. Okay, free spirit out on the Woodley Island. Looks like we're going to talk about water kinds of things, huh?
Yes, I brought an example of our newly installed multi-hazard beach signs that are showing up on beaches throughout northwestern California. So I thought it'd be very timely for your listeners to hear about these signs.
And it's in ugly yellow and striking blue.
Yes, the idea is
has a chance to stand out.
To be catchy, yeah.
That's right. If you did it in grays, you'd never see it.
Right, especially around here, especially today.
Fog, sand, et cetera. So we'll talk about the new signs when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 312. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini. But before we do, our quote this afternoon either comes from Joe Louis or Charles de Gaulle. Your choice.
Oh, that's a tough one.
It's not the boxer Joe Louis.
Oh, okay. De Gaulle.
All right. Graveyards are full of indispensable men. So, you guys, a little bit of new artwork, a little bit more decor. I'm sure those who are concerned about the visual shed are going to get a little excited about this because the color is designed to stand out. But what is it that you've got here?
Well, first of all, interestingly, one of the objectives of these signs, these are new multi-hazard beach signs that are showing up on area beaches. And when I say area...
On posts.
On posts, yeah. Not just laying on the beach. Yeah,
they're brought actually in by the tide, yeah.
Installed properly. And they're being installed in Del Norte, Humboldt, and Mendocino County on all federal, state, and local lands. So it's consistent approach to signage. But one of the early motivations was actually to get rid of sign clutter. Because if you think about it, you'll see on beaches undertow signs, dangerous wave signs. And if we added a tsunami sign to that, we would have had three, possibly four signs describing the possible hazards on a given beach. So the idea was to integrate all of those messages into one sign to reduce sign clutter, not increase it, and then to make the messaging more consistent and we believe more effective because our sense was that folks aren't going to stand and read three or four different signs. But if you give them one, consistent sign, they may take a moment out to read the whole sign.
Big picture, small words, you have a chance.
Thank you. That was the goal, is to try and minimize the number of words. We did have to add a few words to really make some of the messages clear, but we tried to keep it as concise as possible.
It looks like you created a couple words, too.
We made some words up. Oh, yeah, there's a missing R in that one.
Oh, really?
Brian's sharp eye is catching a manufacturing error in the particular sign I brought in, but that's why it's in my office and not out in the world.
Oh, so this is the collectible edition.
This is the collectible edition. Yeah, someday it'll be worth millions.
Yeah, someday.
And for your listeners, they can't see it, but it's a blue sign with white lettering, and then it has a yellow banner on top and on bottom with some additional information.
A highly collectible sign, I understand now.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So it probably will be by some so inclined.
Someday.
So what is the concept behind this sign, Troy? Is it to get folks who are unfamiliar with coast to kind of slow down and maybe think a little bit before they get into a tough situation?
Yeah, we're hoping that, when you part of the logic is driven by post-event analysis we do. When there's fatalities on the beach, we talk to the first responders, we talk to survivors, people who might have witnessed the event, and we try to unravel sort of what went wrong. Like, what was the decision-making process that got people in trouble in the first place? And then, so that drove much of the decisions about the content of the signs. What kind of quick, short message could we have got to those people that may have made a difference in their behavior?
So run?
Well, you know, for example, know the tides, plan for rising water. One of the, for folks on the radio, there's images on the left-hand side that kind of give you an idea of the hazard, and then on the right, there's some very short statements that tell you what the hazard is and what you can do to avoid it.
Kind of so like the universal symbol signs.
They're very very iconic, and you may recognize they all look sort of like the original tsunami icon, because we wanted to leverage that, because that's an international symbol. So we were able to leverage that icon. But for example, the rising tides, we say, know the tides, plan for rising water. In a very short way, we hope that communicates to people that you can't be oblivious to rising water around here, because if you go around a headland while the tide is low, when you come back 2 hours later, you may not be able to get back. So that's an example where we tried to give some really short, concise advice on how people can remain safe on this coast.
A lot of it, I would suggest, for those of us who have been around, are pretty common sense.
Right.
Which probably makes the challenge even more difficult, because it's kind of like telling people, breathe.
No, you're right. And locals often, you know, if I see someone doing something on the beach I think is dangerous, like having young children right near the water during a day that we know is hazardous, and I approach them, I often get, oh, we're local, we know what we're doing. Now, interestingly, locals think that out-of-towners die at a higher rate than locals, but the statistics say otherwise. We lose lots of locals to this coast. And I think that is partly due to the insidious nature of some of these hazards. They can catch anybody by surprise.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the comment of the locals, or you were going to comment on the intelligence and the intellect of the locals.
No, I actually...
That's what I would have said.
No, it really is.
Being one, of course, yeah.
All these hazards we're trying to flag here can fool the smartest of people. The sneaker wave, for example, we're really starting to unravel the decision-making process that gets people in trouble. And it's really a matching up of how the waves behave with how people make decisions. So we really strongly now believe we have a hypothesis we're operating on, that some wave days present like 10, 15, even 20 minutes of smaller waves, followed by a brief, intense period of much larger waves. Well, if someone walks down to the beach and they kind of glance at the water and it looks calm, they dismiss it as not being hazardous, and then get too close, look at their iPhone, look at a...
Throw a frisbee.
Look at an agate on the sand with their back turned to the ocean, and when that big set of larger waves comes in, it catches them off guard. So by looking at the phenomenon and how people make decisions about hazards, you know, we are really kind of piecing together how these terrible tragedies happen. And this sign is an attempt to try and address exactly what goes wrong.
The first wave of a sneaker wave series, does it tend to be a big one? Or will it build up within that event? Build up, geez, all of a sudden you got water around your ankles.
Yeah.
Now you're going to turn around, pay attention, and here comes a larger one, and then...
That is a great question. And I only have one data point on this, but from a case where a woman was literally watching the first sneaker wave that came in, it had a really, it traveled up the beach very quickly, and it was a very surprising, inundating wave. And I sort of hatched a theory based on her report of what she saw, which is that the first wave comes in on an ocean that's kind of calmer, and it has no outwash from previous bigger waves to cause it to stand up. So I think the first one may not be the biggest, but it could be the most deadly.
KINS News and Information Times, 3 and 19.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini and his new sign, Zzz, all over the place. It's a fairly large sign. Is there anything specific to the size, or is that just kind of how it worked out?
You are so observant. Like, seriously, there are two signs, two sizes.
There's not a lot of other, color, choice,
size. Well, no, but
words.
It turns out.
That's about all that there is with a sign.
It turns out there's two sizes. There's a trailhead sign size, and then there's a parking lot size. So this is the parking lot sign. The idea is that if you're parking in your car and this is like at the other end of the parking lot, it has to be pretty big to get your attention and have you read it. But the trailhead signs are a lot smaller because you're standing right in front of them. So yeah, this is a pretty big version.
You can put death on there. That'd probably get people's attention.
You know, we don't want to scare people away from the beach. When I say we, I mean the Water Safety Coalition, myself, my office. We really want to get
that
people.
That wouldn't be getting people away from the beach. It would just, you know, avoid death.
Yeah, there are some beaches where we do add a rider that describes how many deaths have occurred at that beach to really, and that's a pretty sobering thing to read about. But in general, these signs are informative without being scary. And one of the reasons for that is that we want everybody to embrace these, including the business community. And if we scare tourists off the beaches, the business community is not going to support these signs.
I would think about the only other things would be, you know, melanoma. You know, even if it's foggy, you can still get burned.
My ophthalmologist says that this area can be really also insidious when it comes to skin cancer because you don't think it's bright and sunny, but it is.
Yeah. It's because we go to the same hairstylist, too.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, just a couple of simple, don't climb on the rocks because if you fall, it hurts. I mean, just a couple more of those basic kinds of things, and you have it all wrapped up.
Yeah, what this sign covers is tsunami, sneaker wave, rocks and jetties, rising tides, and rip currents. And this is one sign with all five hazards, but I want to point out this is almost the full palette. Most sites only have three or four possibly. So this sign will expand and grow based on the kinds of hazards and the number of hazards that are present on any given beach. And that was by design. So as people become familiar with this sign, if you see a beach that has a sign with six hazards, that tells you, take note, this beach has a lot of issues. Most sandy beaches will just have tsunami, sneaker wave, and rip current because that's pretty ubiquitous for most sandy beaches in this area. As soon as you start adding rocks and headlands, then some of those other hazards come into play. We also have one that's not on this sign, which is the cliff hazard. So, you know, cliffs can crumble and people fall down cliffs. And that's a particular problem in the Mendocino Coast, not so much in this area.
I noticed land sharks aren't on there either.
No.
No land shark?
No.
Okay.
And then, of course, we do also mention the cold water. And I think one of the...
What I see out of all of that...
That's the one that jumps out for you?
No, that's the one that should be like three times the size of all the other ones because, you know, if you're from Southern California.
Yeah.
Or if you're a little guy.
Or
you go play in the water and you're playing in the water and pretty soon your skin's red.
Yeah.
You're playing in the water.
Right.
Playing in the water and now you're moving a little slower.
Yeah, and Southern California, the water's still relatively cool compared to, for example, the Gulf Coast where it's very warm. So people from out of the area definitely need to know the water's much colder. And it isn't just a comfort thing. It really is a compounding factor because if you get pulled into the ocean by a sneaker wave, the cold water can cause something called cold water paralysis where you lose the ability to use your arms and legs pretty quickly in a matter of minutes so you can't tread water long enough to get back out of the surf. And so the cold water is a real issue with this region. And so we do flag that in the yellow banner at the bottom there as kind of an overarching message. And we also, of course, flag don't go in the water to rescue someone if you can. Call 911. You know, keep an eye on the person in the water. Get help as soon as possible. And definitely don't go in after dogs. It's a very important message. That's not on the sign here, but it's something we're saying a lot now these days because dogs almost always get out on their own. So if your dog gets pulled in the surf, just wait for them to come out on their own. They'll be cold and tired, and you'll want to, you know, snuggle them when they get out. But don't go in the surf after your dog.
You probably put in don't go after fish also.
Definitely don't go in after pet fish, yeah.
Would it make sense? Was there any discussion? Wait a minute. I'm going to have to do a reach on this one. Okay. To use the backside for if it happens, if hypothermia has set in, here's what to do. Well, if there is an earthquake.
That's a very interesting notion. We could have on the bottom of the front said, for details, see back, and on the back, put some more in-depth information.
Just a little bit of...
I like it. Yeah.
A little bit of something. I'm seeing the earthquake at the top. Okay, great. You know, so you got the tidal wave zones and all that kind of stuff running. Dandy. But if this is at a trailhead somewhere, and let's say there's just an earthquake.
Right.
Take your pick of where it is. You know, are you going to be running away from falling trees?
Right.
Power lines? What about driving rigs? Power lines down. You know, some of those things that we... hear about, talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
If somebody, that might be where the tourist is more exposed. Yeah.
No, I really like it too because the front could be for the people who you're lucky to get 3 seconds of their attention, and then they're going to go on with their day. But some people are interested and actually want more, and putting it on the back would be a great way to accommodate those folks as well. You know, that never came up in all the design meetings we had over a period of several years. It just goes to show your creative genius there.
Now, at this point, I should probably ask, were there any private sector minds in the room, or were there? Oh, okay.
Oh, I love it. And you know what we need for this next phase?
So then I will take that as a compliment. Though.
Absolutely. But what we need for this next phase is some private sector sponsorship. No.
Yeah.
It was your idea, I think.
Throw a bumper sticker on the back of it and call it done,
right?
Huh?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Maybe a smiling image of a certain individual in this studio.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. I don't know.
In fact, I think I mentioned a retired web designer did all the graphics for us pro bono, so that was really great. A local gentleman named Mike Bittner did the work, so there's a shout-out for Mike. And stuck with us for years of design evolution and input from various people, so it was a great effort.
It's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini. Ideas on what to do and what not to do if you're around the beach, things happen. Troy, the signs that you've been referencing, whether they're the all-encompassing collectibles or whether they're some of the smaller ones, how quickly should we start seeing them appear?
They're deployed now. They're on all state beaches in the area, all national park beaches, and all Humboldt County beach entry points now. And I say all the major ones. You know, if you have a little secret trail to get down to the coast, you won't see them. We have already had some thefts occur, which suggests they're a little too darn good looking for their own good. But we have replacements. We'll get them back up. But people should be seeing them. Also, the Bureau of Land Management properties now have them up. So,
which means the spit.
The North Spit, yeah.
And back where the RVs used to be.
Malel Dunes.
In Oric.
Yeah. Oh, in Oric, yeah. That's
the what?
Malel Dunes.
What's that?
Just north of Manila. There's a BLM property there. It's fantastic.
Oh, is that the one that used to be the private residence?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the Friends of the Dunes. That's a nonprofit.
Before Lamphere Dunes?
North of the, between that that house and Lamphere Dunes is BLM. Malel Dunes. Yeah, I can't spell it. It has an apostrophe in there somewhere.
Oh, boy. What does it mean? Big Sandy Hill?
I think it means Big Sandy Hill. I should know that. But there's wonderful trails for walking in there. It's a BLM-managed property. It's fantastic, yeah.
So if you're in this kind of a situation, I mean, you know, there are some times when you can move and sometimes you can't move. Is there a secondary set of suggested activities?
You mean like you're caught in a sneaker wave?
You're caught either in a wave, or let's say the sneaker wave comes in and you're isolated.
Right.
Or there's an earthquake and you're too far away to be able to get where you should be.
Well, in the case of an earthquake and you think a tsunami's coming, just get as high and as far away as you can. Every foot you take, every step you take away from the coast and higher elevation could save your life. And there's always a lot of uncertainty about how big any given tsunami is going to be. So we have certain rules of thumb, and we have inundation maps and evacuation maps. But in general, your guiding principle should be go east as fast and as high as you can and don't stop.
Better to go east or better to go up?
Go up and inland, either or. If you're in a really flat area, your only choice is to go inland. And inland actually helps as well. In the case of a sneaker wave, once you're being caught by a sneaker wave and pulled back into the ocean, as I mentioned, we've done a lot of interviews. We had one instance where a young woman described getting a low profile so the water wouldn't pull her out as effectively. Because, you know, your natural tendency is to want to stand up when the water's trying to pull you out.
Go horizontal instead of vertical.
Yeah, but I can't say that's an absolute proven technique. It seemed to work for her to keep her from being pulled out as fast as if she stood up. But my main message is, once you're pulled into the ocean by a sneaker wave and you're fully dressed with boots on and a parka, your chances of survival are extremely low. So my message is...
Get rid of your boots?
No, my message is don't get in that situation in the first place. You know, if you see signs like this in other areas with warmer water, they're going to try to attempt to tell you how to get out of a rip current, for example. We don't do that. We don't tell you to swim parallel to the current because we know that you could be Michael Phelps and a world foremost expert on rip currents, and if you get pulled in the surf around here, you're probably not going to get out. So the main thing is to not get pulled into the surf. Unless you're tethered to a surfboard with a big old wetsuit, it's just not the place to be, especially fully clothed with boots on in a harsh wave environment.
So as we look at this sign, okay, you're saying if you, with an earthquake, get to high ground.
Right, and that's for tsunami.
That's pretty simple.
You say it's simple and maybe obvious, but you know, in Indonesia in 2004, over 200,000 people died because they didn't know that single piece of information. Even in Japan, people waited for the official warnings for 40 minutes, and they lost 20,000 people. It's hard to say exactly how many they lost where they didn't need to, but people definitely did not act right away throughout Japan based on the earthquake. So our message,
and they felt it.
And they felt the earthquake for sure. So, but they thought the wave was going to be smaller. They had protective structures in place to protect them from the tsunami, so they didn't evacuate immediately. Our message has always been...
Stood behind the breaker wall? Is that
basically, yeah. And our message has always been and will always be, if you feel a big earthquake and you're on the coast, get away from the coast. Don't wait for anything from the National Weather Service. Don't wait for anything from KINS to tell them what's going on. That earthquake is a natural warning.
Just do.
Go now. Yeah, so...
Safely.
Yes, safely. Right, yeah. Don't go too fast, and yeah.
The sneaker waves. I would think turning your back on water. That just seems logical. You don't do it.
You'd be
just
surprised, though. You'd be surprised. We were filming, looking for a sneaker wave event last year, and a woman was hunting agates, and it was amazing. She almost looked like a shorebird. Her back was to the surf. She was looking down at the beach, looking for the agates. And every wave that came in, she sort of walked up away from the water because she could hear it. And then kind of drifted back down as the waves got smaller. But she was very vulnerable to a sneaker wave in that situation because a sneaker wave could have come in much further and much faster than she was ready for. And if you go walk on the beach, you look how many people are looking at their iPhone or holding hands with their sweetheart or looking down at the beach or chatting. Most people do look
periodically
away.
Looking at what, yeah, I get it, because if you're staring at it, you're going to trip over the driftwood.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, but you're checking in every so often. You know, your
peripheral vision.
The air
to
the ocean. I mean, that's stupid.
Yeah. Well, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, even guilty of it.
Even if you're making a sandcastle.
If you're a perch fishing, you got to look down to bait your hook.
Yeah, but you're talking, what, maybe 30 seconds?
These waves are traveling 30 miles an hour, and they can get you in a short period of time. My message to people who have to be near the water like that with their attention diverted doing any of those activities is to wear a life vest. And it may not absolutely guarantee your safety, but if you're right near the water's edge around here doing an activity that has you look in the wrong direction, if you have a life vest on, if you get pulled in, it gives you a fighting chance.
Are there some beaches that are more susceptible?
Yes, steep beaches in general seem to produce more fatalities. The steep beaches, for example, all along all the spits, Big Lagoon Spit, Freshwater Spit, all those spit beaches have very steep beaches with coarse grain size. What that means is that you can get hit by a wave, and if it pulls you in, you're in deep water much quicker, much more quickly. The other thing is that if you get hit by a wave and it's pulling you in, you're being pulled down a steep slope with crumbly sand, and the water is churning the sand up and making it kind of almost like a liquid, so it's harder to get a grip to pull yourself out. That's what we think from firsthand accounts of what goes on with steep beaches. But in general, steep beaches are definitely more dangerous. Flat beaches like Clam Beach, Moonstone Beach, those have less sneaker wave fatalities.
So if you're standing there and you have one of the ankle high drops,
right?
Yeah. So you're in the water, you're past the foam, and you stand there, and then the wave starts going back, and you feel the sand going
crumbling out.
Does that give you? Is that a good barometer to say, okay, this beach is halfway okay? If it all disappears from underneath you, and you're really surprised how quickly.
Then that's not okay. No, that's a great point. I mean, that's a great way to look at the world. Yes. I would say when you feel like the beach doesn't give you good footing and you're near the water, just imagine now if that sand gets wet, your footing is going to be worse. But what you said is also true of just the sneaker wave phenomenon. You asked earlier, like, what is a sneaker wave? And it's basically a wave that catches you off guard. But everybody who's walked on the beach has had a case where let's say they have their shoes on, they're walking along the beach, they don't think they're very close to the water, and all of a sudden a wave comes up really quickly and gets their feet wet. That's kind of the sneaker wave phenomenon. But if it happens to where that wave gets you chest deep, now that's a potentially fatal sneaker wave. So, yeah.
And those are the ones that you reference when you're talking about a sneaker wave, or the chest high jobs, or...
Or even waist high on a steep beach could pull you back in. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be that big.
KINS News and Information Times 343. We'll be back with more from Troy Nicolini.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini. Troy, if somebody does want one of the signs of the autograph model, how much does a sign cost?
That one's about $43, yeah. They're full, like, Caltrans grade, you know, signs. They're reflective on aluminum back, so they're not cheap.
Come by the shop.
I could actually put them in contact with the sign company, and they could order their own signs for sure.
I'm thinking some of these guys, you know, either private beaches or whatever. Sure. Something like that might actually come in handy.
Or if someone wants one for their bedroom, please don't steal one from the beach. Get in touch with me, and I'll hook you up, and you can buy your own.
That's right. That'd be first edition signs.
Right, right.
Rather than some of these improvements we've talked about.
And I would even autograph one for somebody if they wanted one for
their... What a guy.
Yeah.
What, on the front.
Or I could have Mike Bittner, the artist himself. Yeah.
There was a pretty large earthquake in Japan early this morning. Any concerns at all? When something like that happens at the other end of the dish, do you start looking pretty hard at some of the stuff?
Yeah, my colleagues in Palmer, Alaska, that's where the National Tsunami Warning Center is, they evaluate all earthquakes around the Pacific Basin and very quickly can figure out whether it has any tsunami potential or not, just based on the location, magnitude. And so they very quickly declared that one to present no tsunami threat to the West Coast.
Right? So even though it was a 6.9, because it was the wrong kind of earthquake,
wrong area, whatever. Wrong location, yeah. And they have certain hot spots like the Aleutians off of Alaska that any big earthquake they look at very seriously because that entire region is known to be a subduction fault, the kind of earthquake that generates tsunamis. So, yeah.
It's really close, too. We want them to pay attention to that one.
And it's true. The Aleutians, it's about a 4 to 5 hour travel time to this coast for a tsunami. So they look at that one very seriously.
Yeah, we've learned that one over the years.
Yes.
If somebody has any suggestions for either the signs...
Yeah, they're welcome to contact me at the office. Yep. It's troy.nicolini@noaa.gov.
Other than typos?
Typos, any suggestions are welcome.
So I'm still working on overtopped.
Overtopped. Overtopped. Is that not the correct word choice?
I don't know. I've never seen it before.
Huh. You know, spell check did turn that up as an error. No, just kidding.
Did it really? Yeah, okay. Well, yeah.
So, Brian's referring to rocks and jetties can be overtopped by waves.
Rather than waves coming over the top of jetties and rocks.
I'm not saying we didn't take any journalistic license. in getting the message as concise as possible, with the English language being, you know, thrown into the bargain.
Oh, boy. Excuses left and right. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.